underneath it is this cry of the heart. This is the most primal human mystical experience, is the cry of the heart, which is why Abu Sa'id said, Sufism was at first heartache, only later it became something to write about. That is the most primal experience you have, this cry in the heart. This is like the Rumi's beginning of the Mathnawi, the reed torn from the reed bed, whose lament caused men and women to moan. This is the most primal experience you have. And what does prayer do? It's a way of articulating that cry, of bringing into that cry all of your human drama. I don't understand something. I don't understand what is happening. Beloved, help me. It becomes a way to live. It's a reference point to ask, if it matters, if it really touches you. Together with the cry of the heart, together with your own need, there, of course, has to be a state of inner listening, because hopefully you're going to get an answer. There is the cry and there is the listening, the state of inner receptivity. I said, we ask to open our hearts that we may hear thy voice that constantly cometh from within. It is one of the strange mysteries of life that in fact the soul and God are constantly communicating with us, but we are so busy we don't notice. We are so caught up in our daily events, in the chatter of the mind, in the distractions of the world, that we don't listen to this voice that constantly cometh from within. Mrs. Tweedy used to tell us, the higher self is always talking to you, always talking to you, but you don't know how to listen. You don't know how to wait. You don't know how to be receptive. Within your heart, not just an empty mind, but be receptive within the heart. And so prayer is also a state of listening. And what you are doing while there is this very human need, because as I say, you know, I've been meditating for 40 years and that human need is still so potent. I've been given a lot, inwardly, outwardly, but that human need is still very, very potent. So many times we don't understand. We don't understand what is happening to us. We ask for guidance for ourselves, for others, for the world. But underneath all of this, there is this communication. You are making a relationship with your soul, with God. That is what matters. In a way, it is not whether or not your prayers are answered, because there are going to be more problems the next day or the next week. And what you think is a real need, maybe it isn't such a big need. It doesn't matter. It is, you are making a relationship. You are living a relationship. Because what is mystical life? It is relationship with God. It is that the very foundation of one's life is a relationship with God. That is where you turn, that is your point of reference, that is the in-breath and the out-breath, is a relationship with God. However God is for you, and for Sufis, it is this feeling within the heart is how God comes to us. This something comes alive within the heart. It's actually an esoteric mystery, because the heart chakra starts to spin at a higher frequency when this relationship starts. It goes to a different level of consciousness, if you like. And then in the heart, this door within the heart opens that allows for this direct relationship with God. As Jami said, why listen to second-hand reports when you can hear the beloved speak himself? And that is the bedrock of mystical life, is relationship with God. A relationship with God that, of course, begins you and God, you and your soul, and becomes eventually one, both two and one. And in this relationship, your light rises towards this greater light, and this greater light comes to meet you. in the Quran, it is called light upon light. Your aspiration, your longing, when you long for God, a little bit of light of your consciousness looks towards a greater light. You look up to the sun in your heart. And when you do that, that attracts this other light towards you, this greater light towards you. The sun of your heart looks towards you. And prayer is a way of, in a way, personalizing this with all of the needs and difficulties and dramas of your life initially. Later it gets deeper. Later it goes from words to silence. Just to be with God. You don't want anything or ask anything. It is just a need to be with God, a need to be in prayer, a need to turn towards God, a need to be present with God. Initially, it is just so wonderful to have this inner relationship, to have this inner understanding, to have this inner need met. St. Teresa describes it very beautifully, how we receive these messages of love written very lovingly in such a way that he would have you alone be able to understand what he has written and what he is asking of you in it. It's this very personal, very intimate communion with God. The core of mysticism is to have this very intimate relationship of lover and beloved, of you with God. And you get this intimate response in your heart. It's just for you, not for anybody else. And all during this time, say, you are looking towards God and God is looking towards you, the light of your soul. If you think that when you come into this world, as I said, initially the light of the soul separates into the light of the ego, the I, with all of the dramas that belong to you as you think you are. This little I, this so fragile, that creates such dramas. And it is separate from the light of the soul. And then slowly during this relationship of prayer, you make a connection again. You start to go home. You start to go back to the source. You reclaim the light of your own soul, the light of your own heart. You start to live in the light of yourself. Say the Sufis call this companionship. I am the companion of he who remembers me. It is a very different way to live because you are no longer trying to sort things out yourself. I often wonder, how can people manage to decide what to do if they don't ask? How would you know how to make any important decision in your life without asking? How would you know what mattered to you? But the ego is full of so many desires and misunderstandings and doesn't really know what to do. I guess if you have a very strong ego and a very strong power drive, it's different, but for most of us, it's not like that. But you ask, you make a relationship, and then you begin to live this relationship. You don't get it right all the time. It doesn't matter. It's not about getting the correct answer. It's about asking and receiving, about communion, about communication, about relationship. Prayer is really a relationship, with God. And initially it is, God is somewhere else. Even your soul is somewhere else. And then as this relationship gets closer and closer, it becomes just here. It just becomes who you are, what you are. Yes, you still remain an ego. You still have to have an ego, but something else is present in your life. And it becomes this living prayer, this living relationship. And then, of course, you discover that everything is in prayer, everything is in this relationship around you. It is not just you, because this is, of course, one of our great Western illusions of just me. You listen to the birds in the morning and you hear that they are in prayer. You see the flowers opening and you see how they are in prayer. You see the fish, you see everything is in prayer. creation is a prayer to God. And I think one of the great sadnesses of our culture is that we've lost contact with that. We've lost contact with this prayer that is around us. Of course, there have been cultures that honored that. Think of the Tibetan culture that honored how rocks spoke, and they put mandalas on the rocks to honor that, to make that known, to make that conscious. And the prayer flags in the wind, and the wind took your prayers. And everything was alive with all of these different prayers that are really one prayer. The whole of creation is in a way one prayer to God. It is one note calling out to God. Because creation needs God, just like we need God. There is nothing special. There is nothing different. The whole of creation is a prayer, is a need. And that's why I find it so sad when people talk about the problems of the world, but they don't include asking God about it, because it's his world. How can we not reflect the need of the whole world to God? How can we not include the sustainer? Everything is about this relationship to God. Am I not your Lord? Yes, we witness it. As a mystic, one has a responsibility, because one has maybe been awakened to that dimension of oneself, of life. One has a responsibility to live it. And so when you cook, cooking is a prayer. When you clean your apartment, the cleaning is a prayer. It is, everything is a relationship. And of course, then there are those, you know, most intimate moments in the night when you're awake and you just cry to God and you want it and you want him and your whole being cries out and you don't know what to do, and then suddenly, unexpectedly, you get an answer. Probably not the answer you expected, not the answer you thought you would get, because the divine mystery is so different to our conception. It's one of the reasons that I always know if I get an answer, whether it is something my mind has made up or it is a real answer, because a real answer for me is so different to anything I could have expected, often with words I would not have thought to use. It's something St. Teresa also says when she says you have to, of course, listening for answers, you have to discriminate between what is the voice of the ego, what she calls the voice of the devil, and the real answer from God within your heart. And one of the ways I have found is because if it is something I could never have imagined, it's outside my frame of reference, and yet so completely correct, so absolutely to the point, I think, that is the mystery revealing itself, that is true. It touches the heart. It answers something within the heart, often deeper than the way you phrase the question. Deeper than your apparent need. You learn to listen, and you are taken further and further into the mystery of what it means to be alive, which is really the mystery of the divine. And as I say, for the Sufi, for the mystic, this happens within the heart. It is the prayer of the heart. You are drawn more and more into your own heart, into the way the heart speaks to God. And the heart has its own language, just like the beloved has his own language. And the beloved's language is often different to the language of our mind, the language of our concepts. And sometimes the response is, it's just love. You just get a feeling of love in the heart. You cry and cry, you have so many problems, and you just get a feeling you are loved. And then when you get that feeling of being loved, nothing else matters. If you get loved within your heart, if you get an answer of love in your heart, then your problems seem to dissolve. They don't matter anymore. Or you get given the strength to bear them. Sometimes they don't go away. You don't even get an answer to them, but you get more strength to bear them. It's interesting because there is a whole spiritual path whereby you go beyond problems. The ego consciousness dissolves and you go to the plane of the self where there are no problems, where you can't have problems. Because because there you are, if you like, you are just one with God, or just in this pure consciousness. It's a very beautiful state, but on this path, we are not allowed to remain in that state. You can get taken to that state, but then you have to come back into this world with its problems, and you have problems because you are part of this world. Yes, you know they're illusory, but they still hurt. Like, you know everything is the will of God, but maybe the will of God can be a little bit kinder this way. In my experience, Sufism is learning to, well, Alan Sari says, learn to be a true human being, learn to be a real human being. One who knows love, one who knows pain, be the bowl of wine passed from hand to hand. It's rather than to go beyond that whole human drama, it's to embrace that human drama, but with this other dimension of knowing that it belongs to God, of referring it back to God, of seeing it as an expression of God. And things still matter. You still cry. You still, even if you know that it doesn't matter, it still matters. That's in Sufism. We don't just leave the world behind and go into this pure consciousness. The in-breath is followed by the out-breath. You go to God, then you come back, and you come back into this little self, this I, that cries. Baisab said his father always had tears in his eyes because he had this longing. Prayer is a way to live it, to make it tangible, to make it bearable, to make it meaningful, to make it very human. I think prayer is something very human. We want to talk to somebody about what we have difficulties. We want to be with somebody. Human beings are about relationship. Human beings, they're about family. It is about you come into this world through relationship. If there wasn't a relationship, you wouldn't be born, however dysfunctional that relationship is, however momentary. And the way prayer is just claiming the highest or the deepest relationship you can have and living with that as a point of reference, as a way to be, until really one's whole life is a place of prayer, because how could you not be with God? How could you not be with your beloved? How could you not be with your own heart? You just take everything that matters back to your own heart. Of course, the difference is that the heart for the mystic is this secret. It is this secret place of relationship with God that includes everything. You can put anything in your heart. Everything can be included in love. And it begins with your needs. I go back to the saying of Sal, God Most High hath brought forth creation and said, entrust me with your secrets. And this is, of course, the deepest relationship is you give to God the very secret of your own self. Maybe even a secret you don't know about till you give it to God. The deepest longing of your heart, what really matters to you, what is most important in your whole being, you give to God. Whether it's just a need to be with God or however it is, you give that secret. You make it known to yourself. We each have a secret. Human being is a mystery. We all have a secret. Not everybody chooses to make that secret known. We all have a secret. And the mystic gives that secret to God, that secret within our own self. It's like what we don't even dare to make known to ourselves. Our secret wish, our secret desire, what really matters in the very core of our being, the secret. Entrust me with your secrets. If you do not do this, then look towards me. And of course, prayer, the very nature of prayer is you look towards God. You turn your attention away from the world back to God, away from yourself back to God. It's the most foundational aspect of spiritual life, of mystical life. You look towards God. At the beginning, God is something other. God is something you don't know. God is a... And eventually God becomes the only point of reference in your life, really. Because it's the only thing that is constant. The only thing that really exists. Everything else can go. That remains. And you learn to look towards God in everything. If you do not do this, then listen to me. As I said, listening is a very, very important part of prayer, learning to listen to God, learning to be receptive to God. It's, of course, a feminine quality, listening. We don't teach it very much in our schools. Our schools are all about learning, accumulating. But, of course, in the ancient mystery schools, you had to learn first to listen. For example, in certain esoteric schools, you were never allowed to write anything down. And the teacher never repeated himself. If you didn't listen, you lost it. If you weren't attentive at that moment, it was gone. It's something I learned actually just the years I sat at Mrs. Tweedy's feet, just listening. For years, every afternoon when she had the group, I would just listen. I would listen to her, I'd listen to other people. Just listening. You have to learn to listen. Spiritual life, mystical life, you have to learn to listen. You learn to listen with its inner ear as well. You learn to listen to God. Because God doesn't come with a blaze of trumpets every day. Doesn't come knocking on the door very loudly. It's often suddenly something, little whisper, something very small, something insignificant, something, oh. And then you know when it's your beloved because your heart opens and there's this softness. Oh, beloved, there you are. I missed you. He likes playing hide and seek with you, you know, the beloved. He likes the whole mystery. Creation is like the hide and seek of God. Comes when you least expect it. If you don't do this, then listen to me. If you do not do this, then wait at my door. Prayer is also waiting. You wait and wait and wait. I think if people knew how much waiting was involved in mystical life, they wouldn't begin. We are a result-oriented culture. We want it quick. We want it now. We want an answer today. We call out to God, hey. And one of the things you do learn to do in mystical life is to wait. You learn to wait and wait and wait. And you learn to be patient. You learn to wait and wait and wait. This is why? Because it really has to do with the rhythm of the soul, not the rhythm of the personality or the ego, the deep rhythm of the soul. And you have to be very patient and very attentive. That's why they say it is like being like a cat at the mouse hole, infinitely relaxed and infinitely attentive. You learn to wait. You wait at his door, always waiting at the door. Maybe he comes tomorrow, maybe next year, maybe 5 years' time. You learn to wait. You have to be patient. It has to do with a completely different cycle of time. This is an aspect of prayer, waiting. You're waiting. Inwardly you're waiting. Always attentive, always waiting. And if you do none of this, at least tell me your needs. So that is where one starts. Prayer starts with your needs. And we all have needs. And it is also a state of vulnerability, you know. To be with God is a state of incredible vulnerability. I think that's why it puts a lot of people off. This state of deep, deep vulnerability. Most people have difficulty in relationships because of vulnerability, but with God, you are completely vulnerable. I think that's why one cries so much. It is this deep vulnerability of the heart, of one's whole being. Even by the very basic thing is you can't, what really matters to you, what is most important to you, you can't do on your own. You can't. You are in need. It's the stamp of being a human being. One is in need. One needs another. And that is where prayer begins, that then takes you deeper and deeper and deeper until this secret of the human being. And of course, the deepest secret for the mystic is that you are one with God. There is no difference. That your need is his need. Your crying out to God is God's answer. Like Rumi says, we are intimate beyond belief. It's incredible intimacy with your own soul and then of the soul with God. And prayer is a way to live that, to bring it into your life. In a very personal, very human, very intimate way. Very, very human. I think that is to me both the beauty and the mystery of prayer. It's a very, very human. We need. And that's where it begins. And then later, of course, you realize that it was all the beloved's need. He loved you before you loved him. And it is all a way of taking our attention, of reconnecting us with the light of our divine nature that we got separated from, this mystery of incarnation where the soul created this light of the ego to have these experiences and then at some point turn back towards the greater light of our divine self, the greater light of God, to look towards this greater light, to claim this greater light, to claim this relationship with this greater light.